morning to you all. We're glad that you're here in the Lord's house at Grace Bible Church. We want to draw your attention in our call to worship this morning to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 8, where we read, "A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth." The Hebrew word for gift there is the word bribe. Some people have taken this verse as a positive thing, but it's a negative thing. And a bribe is as a precious stone. I wish I could give you the full concept of the Hebrew behind the word precious there. It has the idea of a glittering, gleaming, beautiful stone that's been polished, and it's clear and it's beautiful. That's the picture. So a bribe is like a glittering stone in the eyes of him that hath it, whithersoever it turneth. In other words, as you turn the stone, all the facets just seem to just glow. And what does it say as it ends up there? It prospereth. Bribes prosper in the short term, is basically what that verse is saying. But beware of it. Beware of it. You know, we live in a day and age of manipulation, do we not? Everything that we encounter, from the time you walk into a Walmart, you're being manipulated. Okay? First thing you do is you smell popcorn. Or you smell food from the Subway. Or you go into another store and they've got free treats, Sam's Club. They're standing there. You want to try one of these? Or if you go to the mall and you go to the food court, there are just people in rows standing around there with all their special surprises and goods and stuff like that. What are they doing? Is it because they really like you and they are so happy to see you? Here, have a free chicken strip. No, they want you to slip over, get in line, and buy the food. What? I can't believe you would say that, Pastor Brandon. These people are nice people. They're just really nice, and they're kind, and they're giving. They don't have to give me that. No, they want you to come buy their food. What is that? It's a bribe. Okay? He said, oh, no, I have to stop eating the nuggets. No, you can go ahead and eat it. Just pay attention to what you're doing, all right? Maybe it tastes good and it pulls you over there. That's great. That's fine. But when it comes to living a moral Christian life, you got to watch out for people. It is a constant thing. I get it out here at the ballpark. Before the season starts, I have somebody come, we want to sponsor three teams, but we want in exchange for that, we want you to put so-and-so, so-and-so's brother and sister and aunt and uncle on this team right here. And I have to say, I'm sorry, that won't work. I figure, well, I'm giving you money, I can ask whatever I want. Is that how things work? No. A bribe is as a precious stone. Boy, it looks good. It's great. It's beautiful. But it's false. Because what are you having to do? You are the one that's having to give up your principle, if you're not careful, and you're coming to their way of thinking. And all they had to do was just offer you something. Not everything that glitters is gold. Remember that statement? I heard that growing up. Not everything that glitters is gold. And our question was, what's gold? I don't know what that is. But not everything that glitters is gold. You look down in the water. Oh, there's something glittering down there. And you reach down in and it's fool's gold. That's not the real thing at all. So God, help us to be careful in the times in which we live, because we live in the day and the age of manipulation. You can be manipulated in just about every way, shape, or form if you're not careful. And you need to understand and know that it may glitter, but it's not the real thing. God help us to be true to His Word and to apply these principles in our heart and life.
Let's turn to number 597 this morning, 597, as we sing, He is so precious to me, number 597. Let's stand together to sing. remain standing for prayer this morning as Brother Chris Whitney comes to lead us.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house today. Lord, we just pray that you would be with our nation. We think of our leaders. We pray that you would give them strength and wisdom. Pray that they might seek your face, Lord, that they would preserve our freedoms to serve you and to worship you each day. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we do have to worship you and to have a Christian school and Christian ministry here and the freedoms that we do have. We just pray that you would help us to protect that. Lord, I just pray that you would be with the message today. Pray that you would undertake, help us to be attentive and apply it to our lives. And we just pray for your word as it goes forth with power that it may do a work in people's lives. And we just pray that you would continue to bless all those that are here at school. Pray that you'd be with our teachers, help them to teach the word. And we just pray that you'd help them to understand and see their students and their needs. We just pray that you'd bring souls to you. We also think of the outreach ministry of the Youth Athletic Club. We just pray that you would undertake there, give us opportunities to be a witness and a testimony, that we may see souls saved and children enrolled in school. We just pray that you'd bless in that ministry. We just pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn now to number 449. 449, nearer, still nearer, number 449.
Give me.
turn over now to number 326. 326. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We'll sing just verses 1 and 3. First and last, number 326.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We are continuing in our study of the book of Matthew, and we have come now to the nation of Israel. As we said in this Olivet Discourse, the first part, verses 4 through 14, dealt with the Gentile nations, what lie ahead in the future for them. And now we come to verses 15 through 31, where the theme, the focus will be upon the nation of Israel. I've entitled this message, Israel, Pay Attention to Your Forecast. Have you ever been caught off guard when you didn't check the weather and you didn't have your umbrella when you needed it? That's happened too many times to me over the years. I'm thankful for smartphones, though, because I do get alerts now that tell me, hey, we got a storm coming or we've got this going on. You need to be prepared for a rain shower in the afternoon or in the morning. And, you know, forecasts are important because it may change your plans for the day. How many times has weather changed your plans? When you thought you were going out for a picnic and ended up having to eat inside because it was pouring down rain. Or maybe you were thinking that you were going to get something in and a huge rainstorm comes up and then just wipes out all of your plans. We've had a few July 4ths over the years that we had our plans changed. I can remember one year, it was so bad that we had to back the bus up to the building over there, load everything up in the bus, and bring it up here to the auditorium. Everybody was drenched, and so we had July 4th inside as we were all dripping and had our hair stuck to our scalp, and we had a memorable July 4th. Plans get changed. If you're not paying attention to the forecast, you have your plans changed a lot. And this is an important, important section of Scripture because it encourages the nation of Israel, gives them a plan as they face the horrors of the time of Jacob's trouble that's still yet in the future. Let's begin reading at verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Now that gives us a very important phrase. Key words. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. You've got to go back to Daniel chapter 9. You've got to go back to Daniel chapter 7. And you understand and know the awful time period that begins the time of Jacob's trouble, whenever Antichrist will go and sacrifice a pig on the altar and he takes over the temple there in Jerusalem and says, now you worship me. And horrors begin for the nation of Israel. And so the Bible says, when that happens, prophesied by Daniel, when that happens, stand in the holy place. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, what a wonderful promise from our God. That yes, if I were to let things go, there would no flesh survive. It'd all be wiped out. But I've shortened the days. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. Our last verse in this series. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray now your blessings upon this message. Lord, as we look at the nation of Israel and what she faces in the future, Lord, help us to know that it's going to be one of the most horrible, horrible events ever to shake our earth. And yet, Lord, you've given instructions to the people whereby they might escape and not become one of those destroyed by the onslaughts of the Antichrist. We pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts as we consider this forecast for Israel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's reference to the end, or enduring to the end, in the previous verse, 14, then shall the end come, is the Greek word telos. All right? The end, the final conclusion to the end of times. That's kind of the word telos means, the final conclusion of the end of times. It forms a natural bridge to our passage here as we deal with the nation of Israel. By far the most dramatic and terrible end time events lie ahead for the nation of Israel. Gog and Magog, the Antichrist, the time of Jacob's trouble, the battle of Armageddon, all relate to the nation of Israel. Israel's in the focus of these events. These events will prune the fig tree. Remember the fig tree? I did a PowerPoint on the fig tree and showed how it can be harvested three times a year. Well, this event, the time of Jacob's trouble, will be a pruning time. And the fig tree will be pruned of all of its bad fruit and prepare a remnant for the return of Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel is pictured as back in the land and Christ rejecting. That is the case today. Yes, Israel's back in the land, but it is a Christ-rejecting group. The Lord assumed here that His listeners had a working knowledge of the Bible. And what book does He point them to? Book of Daniel. Book of Daniel has so much to tell us. By the way, the book of Daniel even numbers the days of the tribulation period, telling us when the Lord will come back at the end of the tribulation period. So we know His prophecy does not deal with the rapture. That's still in God's hands. The day and the time is totally unknown even to the Lord Jesus. That's in the Father's hand. And He will tell the Lord Jesus, that's when you shall go. He will give the word, and Jesus will know the time of His coming. It's kept secret. But this is talking about the coming of the Lord, the coming in judgment that will take place. And He uses a phrase from the book of Daniel that is used three times. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, chapter 11, verse 31, and also in chapter 12 and verse 11. It's called the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation. Now that word abomination is a very strong word in the Hebrew. And it's used in the New Testament in the Greek, and they have a very similar, powerful word. It means the utter highest level of corruption. The highest level of corruption. And it will result in what? Desolation. The highest level of corruption. Folks, we are moving. As we move in time, the corruption is getting deeper and stronger and bigger. Corruption does not stay at the same level throughout history, because we are told that there will be an abomination of desolation. That means we are moving and the times are becoming more horrendous, and the openness of sin becomes universal. Not hidden where people can't see it, but now out in the open. And this is certainly true. And it's promulgated by the internet. It's promoted by cable television. It is in our theaters. It is everywhere. Corruption. All for the eye to see. Teenage boys used to sneak around to go buy or get somebody to buy them a dirty magazine to watch, but not anymore. You don't have to sneak around. It's within distance of a smartphone, or a laptop, or a Chromebook, or a tablet. It's that close. It's right there. Wickedness. And we have to understand and know that as we approach the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's going to wax worse and worse. That's the Bible. That's what the Bible says about our times and about what we are going to see in the future. It will get worse and worse until finally it's crowned abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist will walk in and he will slaughter a pig on the altar at the temple, which Israel will have been worshiping at for the last 3.5 years. temple's going to be restored and they're going to have worship again. But it won't be a cow. It won't be a lamb. It's going to be a pig. And he will take over the temple and he will say, worship me. And the false prophet will go forth throughout the four corners of the earth to raise awareness that the Antichrist is the Christ. And everyone will believe the fake news except for the remnant. And we're told here, Israel, when that happens, flee as quickly as you can. Run to the mountains. Woe be to the lady who's pregnant or giving suck to a child, because she will not be able to move as quickly to be able to get out of there, because this is the only way you're going to escape. Because the horrors are going to be unfolded and all the seals and the bowls and the vials are going to be opened up as the wrath of God is poured down upon the nation of Israel and upon this earth. Why? Why? I thought God was a loving God. Let me tell you something. He loves righteousness. When anybody ever says that, oh, God's a loving God, and I always say, yes, and He loves holiness and righteousness. Love never cancels those two things out. Love and holiness are together there in His love for us. But there comes a point that if you reject His Son, and you continue to reject His Son, as the nation of Israel has done, there are horrible and serious consequences for not coming to the truth and receiving the truth of God. Now, let me give you an overview, if I can, of the events prophesied in Daniel. I'm going to just give you a bird's eye view. We're going to run through these. These are found in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. Shortly after the rapture of the church, which, by the way, is not prophesied in the Old Testament, only in the New Testament, and will have already occurred when these events take place, a dynamic leader will arise in Europe. He will unite 10 key Muslim-influenced nations under 10 kings and revive the old Roman Empire. Under cover of a 7-year treaty, Israel will rebuild its temple in Jerusalem. The Islamic nations will appeal to Russia as someone who will side with them against Israel. What is Russia now announcing to the whole world? We have nuclear capability that could destroy the entire earth. Our nuclear weapons are better than any that the United States have or China has. We are the power to deal with. And what group has Russia chosen to associate itself with? The Muslim nations. Right now, it sided with Iran in the nation of Syria. It is supporting a madman who has murdered and killed over 500,000 Syrians in the last 5 years. And Russia's right there in the mix. Iran's right there in the mix. And they are all together. They say they're fighting ISIS. Isn't that interesting? Another Muslim group. So they have already declared there's a hierarchy of Muslims. There are those that are the really bad Muslims, and then there's us. And Russia's right there, and Russia has at its disposal all the nuclear weapons it chooses to use to frighten the nations. And they will lead a revitalized group of Muslim nations, which, by the way, who are the wealthiest people groups in the world? They're centered in the Middle East. Israel is a very wealthy nation. Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, go down the list of all those, Iran, even Iraq, with all of its problems. It is a wealthy, wealthy nation because it has liquid gold, and they're selling it to the Russians. They're selling it to the nations of the Middle East. So while we could go down all these, and they're extremely wealthy. They have more money, and they're going to join with Russia at the beginning of the tribulation period to invade Israel. God is going to pour out fire from heaven, but guess who's going to take credit for it? The Antichrist. He'll take credit. See there, I destroyed all these bad people groups. that came up against Israel. I'm for Israel. I have kept the treaty that we hammered out at the beginning of the tribulation period. Oh, it's going to be a horrible destruction that takes place at that time. But what it does is it removes Russia, and it removes these Islamic forces that have been causing so much disruption in the world, and allows Antichrist to be able to have a period of what? Peace and prosperity. He will not have the Islamic and Russian people groups and leaders that want power vying for his power. He will basically emasculate the earth with that Gog and Magog event that he takes credit for, which God is the one that takes care of them. By the way, there are two Gogs and Magogs in the Scripture. If you read them and put them parallel, they don't match. They don't match in time. They don't match in events. One takes place at the very end of time. The other one takes place at the beginning of the tribulation period. So, the beast will take credit for the defeat of the Russian Islamic Alliance forces, which will allow him to assume global rule. By the middle of the tribulation, though, the beast will have consolidated all of his power and will have no more use for Israel. He will seize the rebuilt temple, put an image of himself in the inner sanctuary, and command that universal worship be given to him and led by the false prophet. That's where the false prophet really comes to notoriety, because he leads the worship. Now, he will then launch an all-out war against the Jewish people. He will set out to exterminate them along with all those who refuse to receive his mark and worship his image. It is this image that is referred to by both Daniel and Jesus as the abomination of desolation. Now that, in a nutshell, bird's eye view, is what Daniel prophesies, what Daniel lays out. I want to talk about, in the first few verses here, verses 15 through 22, I want to talk about the crucible of tribulation for Israel. When the pig is slaughtered on the altar in the temple, the abomination of desolation begins at that moment. And what does Jesus tell his Israelite friends to do at that time? Flee. Run as fast as you can. Get out of the country. Pray that it's not on the Sabbath day. Where are they going to be looking for the Jews at that moment? At their houses of worship, their synagogues. They're going to be looking for them there. They're going to be slaughtered. In discussing the coming reign of terror by the beast known as Antichrist, the Lord emphasized that believers will need to flee from Jerusalem. Once the beast has desecrated the temple, it will be foolish to tarry around in Jerusalem for any reason. And so he encourages them to flee. Woe to those who are hindered by young babies, pregnant, or by religious scruples coming to Jerusalem at the Sabbath time. They will die. Many believe that only the safe place for the Jewish people will be the ancient rock city of Petra. It's kind of an interesting place, is it not? You can barely ride a horse through the endless trails that take you back into that particular area. But they're going to be spread out all over the wilderness of Sinai. There are caves, there are rocks. It is a dangerous and treacherous place, but they'll find their desert enclave somewhere. God will allow them to flee. That's the first few verses that we see. Except those days, verse 22, should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. That's how bad things are going to be. You know, we cannot imagine. Even the horrors of World War II, 6 million Jews died. Nearly 17 million people total in World War II were killed. Just horrendous loss of life. In China, the loss of life under the communist rule, Chiang Kai-shek, who came to power, is estimated, they only estimate because they don't know for sure, 23 million Chinese people died. Pol Pot in the Cambodia-Laos-Vietnam region estimated killed close to 12 million people. That's happened in the last 100 years, in some of your lifetimes. That's how many people have been sent off into eternity slaughtered by dictators. Now you think about that. Imagine that almost the entire earth is wiped out, but for the grace of God, when He slows things down, He brings things to a conclusion so that the entire population of the earth is not destroyed. I want you to see in these two verses, verse 21 and 22, the fury of God's wrath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. I study history. I read books on history. I've been working my way through a book in recent time on some of the awful things that have happened in war. The Tarawa campaign that took place during World War II and the unbelievable killings that took place. Japanese soldiers who committed suicide because they didn't want to get captured. You go down through there and they describe some of the horrors of their religion, of disemboweling themselves and their willingness to become a kamikaze pilot to end their lives because they saw only a future beyond that would be wonderful for them, but they were being falsely led. They believed wrong things, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands into the millions paid with their lives. Two atomic bombs dropped on Japan. Two cities completely obliterated. Hundreds of thousands of people dead. Many more thousands would die in the next 10 years from radiation poisoning. Some of them who survived for many, many years had their clothing completely burned into their skin until their skin was able to shed that because of the horrors of war. You think about that, and yet God says nothing in the past will compare to what's going to happen on this earth and what's going to happen to Israel. Fury, untold fury poured out upon this earth. Except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. That's how horrible the future is going to be. Isn't it interesting that God would encourage them? You better pay attention to the forecast. The forecast, the clouds are already gathering. In the summertime, it's amazing here in Florida how these afternoon showers will creep up. And the sky, usually it comes from the west to the east. Sometimes it'll come from the east to west. Usually those are hurricanes. That's a bad storm. But you think about those dark, dark black clouds that come rolling in. In March of 2005, we had a hailstorm that I had never experienced before in my lifetime. We had windows broken. We had our skylights broken out. We had trucks and cars damaged. Many of you remember that. And I was out at the ball field, and I could see the clouds off to the west. And it was just like rolling clouds. And you could hear this kind of a thunder off in the distance. So I told everybody, you need to go ahead and clear the fields. I went around with my bullhorn. I was calling out, clear the fields. Everybody off the fields. We got a storm coming. By the time people ran out to their cars, I got in my car. I had at that time Elizabeth and or the boys with me, I think, at that time. And so I began to leave. And I made my way down to get onto the road out here on 89. And all of a sudden, the hail began to come. Slow to start with. Pump, pump. You know, maybe about the size of the end of your thing. So I said, maybe I can get home. So I started headed down the road to get to the house. And it got heavier and heavier. I finally made it down where I took the truck. And I parked it beside a building just to hunker down. And my kids were like this. And they were crying. I mean, it was just unbelievable, deafening sound. As those stones were coming out, some of them were the size of your thumb. Some of them even golf ball size. I had only had my truck for a couple of months, the ministry truck there. And whenever I got home, the whole hood, the rooftop was completely dinked up. I think Chris had the same thing to his truck. His was brand new at the time, and it was just beat up. We had finally, there were groups of people brought in by insurance companies to fix all these cars, and We got them repaired, but it was horrible, and it was dark, pitch black. The sun was completely blocked out. And the thought that came to my mind at that time, as we sat there, and that roar of all those golf ball-sized hails hitting the truck, hammering the truck, and then once it was all over with, that front moved on through, and I came back up to campus, and it looked like it had snowed. I mean, it was thick. Windows broke out. We had limbs broken out of trees. Leaves everywhere. I mean, unbelievable devastation because of a hailstorm. And God indicates in His Word that that's what it's going to be like, and it's going to be 10 times worse at that time. Why? Why would God do this? Because sin has consequences. That's all I can say. Sin has consequences, and they're very strong. Let's look down here. We've got a few minutes left. Go to verse 23. Then, there's our time word. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Don't believe the fake news that will be at that time. It will be published abroad that this is the real Christ, but don't believe it. Not for one second, Israel. It's not your true Christ. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. Oh, the miracles that will be performed during this time. And everyone will think, well, surely this is Christ. Look at the miracles that are being performed. Great signs in the heavens, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's how the deceit will be. You ever been deceived when you thought something was true and it wasn't? It happens quite often. I'm going to tell you something. The world has not known the deception of what the devil is going to promote on this earth during this particular time. But we're leading up to it. We're leading up to it. And people are believing things that aren't true. Most people believe that they're good enough to go to heaven when they die. I have yet to read an obituary where it said, this individual lived a raunchy, wicked life and went to hell when they died. I read the obituaries. I keep up with who's passing away in town. I try to send a note or send something, you know, if it's somebody that I've had association with through this ministry. I try to keep up with that. But I have yet to see an obituary that was truly honest. Somebody that everybody in town knew was a womanizer or was wicked or things of that nature, and all of a sudden they were ushered into the presence of their Heavenly Father. Read that thing 1,000 times. They were ushered into the presence of their Heavenly Father. They went to heaven. And there was nothing in their life that indicated that they even knew Jesus Christ. And yet people think, what is that? That's false news. That's fake news. Not everybody that says the name of Jesus Christ is going to heaven. Matthew chapter 7 tells us that. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not done wonderful things in thy name? And he shall say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And they were doing all kinds of religious things. That's scary. That's scary. Oh, there's going to be foolishness. Foolishness. Believing the false lies. Behold, I have told you before, verse 25. Therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Don't believe what they say to you, Israelites. They're trying to destroy you. Don't believe the lies. Believe the truth. The foolish will be destroyed because they heed not the Word of God. People who don't listen to the Word of God are people that have to face the consequences. Oh, how important it is for us to fill our children with the Word of God. And as adults, to fill our hearts with the Word of God. Do you know the Bible? I'm talking about all of it. Don't just read the Psalms all the time. There's some people that just live in the Psalms all the time. Now, the Psalms are good. But God has so much more to say to you. There's so much that He wants to say to you. He wants to let you know how the end's going to come. And you've got to read that. Well, I get kind of bored with prophecy type stuff. I like to read, fun things. I like to read good things. I'm going to tell you something. You got to read the news for what it is. Can you imagine if we only had positive news in the Pensacola News Journal? That would be nice for a change, wouldn't it? We read about all the murders. We read about all the car wrecks. We read about all the bad things that have robberies and all that kind of stuff. And it just makes you want to bolt your door and stay inside all day long. Right? I mean, it sounds horrible. I don't like to frequent places in Pensacola that are known for crime areas. Why? Because I don't want to become a statistic. You know, if you know something's bad's going on, why would you go down in there and involve yourself in that? I told our young people in my Bible doctrines class some weeks ago, I said, you know, bad things happen at bars. Why would you go into one? Fist fights, drunkenness, vomiting. You go drug sale. There's all kinds of stuff that go on in bars. Why would you want to go to one? And yet people want to test. I see what it's like. Don't be a fool. That's what the Bible says. There are foolish people that will not heed the word, and they will be judged. The coming of the Lord for Israel is found in our remaining verses 27 through 31. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I mean, it's going to be like a lightning bolt. In Florida, we know what lightning is all about. Every year in Florida, they have almost 25 people that get hit, mostly on golf courses, sometimes construction sites, so forth. But, you know, you're warned about it. You know a storm's coming, you got to be careful. You got to protect yourself. But the Son of Man's going to come like a lightning bolt from the east to the west, and He is going to come in, and He is going to stun Israel. He's going to stun the world with His arrival. Oh, what an arrival is it going to be? He's going to come on a white charger. Something beautiful about a white horse. And our Lord is going to come riding in, and He'll have all of the hosts. We'll be in that group. We'll come in with Him, but we're not going to fight. We're going to watch. And we're going to watch our Lord clean up on this earth. He's going to wipe out all the evil, and He's going to preserve the good nations, allow them to go into the millennial kingdom, those that helped Israel, those that helped protect. There will be many that will do that. They will be allowed to go into the millennial period. But I want you to know something. When Jesus comes back, He's going to come back with a sword. That troubles some people. We like to think of Him only as the sweet Jesus, but I want to tell you something. There is no heaven until hell is dealt with. Are you listening to me this morning? There is no heaven until hell is dealt with. You can't go to heaven unless you've had Jesus Christ deal with your hell, deal with your sin. And the same thing is true about the millennial kingdom. There can be no millennial kingdom until God takes care of the corruption that's on this earth. And He's going to mop up the ground with the enemies of Israel. What a picture is given to us. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect. And so these are the Jewish people from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now remember, the Jews scatter and disperse during this time. But God's going to send His heavenly bus, and He's going to go around and He's going to pick up every one of them. He's going to bring them to Israel. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He's just going to bring them from all the four corners where they have been spread out, and He's going to bring them back to the land of promise, and He is going to rule and reign. And then it stops, verse 31. Stops there. He's got one more other group that He wants to talk about. And I hope and pray that we can communicate. You know, the speed of the Lord, the slaughter of at His return, the signs of His return, the sound of His return, all of these things are given here. And by the way, what instruments used for the announcing of the Lord? Trumpet? I told somebody out in the hallway, I said, well, at least the trumpet sounds that you hear this morning, you know it won't be the rapture. it won't have the same alert like the rapture trumpet will have. But there's that announcing of the judgment. There are seven trumpets that are sounded during this tribulation period, and all of them are going to wreak havoc and horror upon all those who reject Jesus Christ. There is no heaven until hell is taken care of. How about you this morning? This primarily isolates the nation of Israel for its judgment, but the same is true of a lost person. You can't claim heaven if you're headed to hell. And what you need to do is cry out to God before that trumpet sounds. You need to cry out to God and say, "Oh God, be merciful unto me, a poor, wretched, lost sinner. And pour your grace into my soul. And make me a new creature, whereby old things are passed away and all things are become new." That's what you need. You need Jesus Christ to deal with the hell of your life and put you on the road to heaven with His Son, Jesus Christ. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. But I'm here to tell you, time is short. Time is short. You better not play around with God. Dr. Hobbs used to tell about a pilot friend of his that had a little prayer they would put up on the yoke of the bomber that they were flying. He said, "What's that prayer for?" He said, "Well, if something happens and plane goes out of control, I want to be able to pray." And Dr. Hobbs had enough sense at that time to know that's not how things work. And he said, "Have you ever watched a plane fall out of the sky? Start turning and rotating and the G-forces start taking over? What happens to the body? You black out. There's no time. There's no time for praying. Just the enormous G-forces spinning your soul right into hell because you chose to wait and pray a prayer if things went wrong. Let me tell you something. God's call is for right now, today. Won't you come? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, we see the warnings. We see the commands that are given about how the Israelites are to flee as the horrors of the tribulation period in the middle of the seven-year time begin to unfold wrath upon the nation of Israel because of her rejection of Jesus Christ. Lord, there are perhaps some here that are rejecting Jesus Christ. They know the right things to say at the right times, but the reality is that they really don't know the Savior. Father, I pray that you'd work in hearts and draw souls unto yourself. Lord, we live in great times of deception, fake news, false prophecies. Christ is here. Christ is there. Don't believe it. Not true. Help folks to know and understand the truth of Jesus Christ as presented in the Bible. And Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts today. That if there's a lost sinner here, that they would turn to Thee right where they're at and cry out to Thee for deliverance. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Close this morning with number 146. 146. There's a great day coming. A great day coming when the saints and sinners will be parted right and left. Are we ready for that day to come? The Lord is ready to receive. Are we ready to come to Him and be ready for that judgment day in the future? Number 146, let's sing that first verse as we close this morning. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for the word we've heard this morning and a stark reminder of the future that is yet to come that's been prophesied. And Father, I pray that we all in this room are ready for that day to come. Lord, we and part of the church that would be ready for the rapture. Lord, I do pray that if there is anyone in here that is not prepared, that you would speak to their heart. And then, Lord, help us as your people to be a faithful witness and testimony to tell others about this coming day, so that they too may know the blessings of their sins forgiven and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, go with us now this day, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Lord bless you.